Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to the Ridge YA podcast. This is a podcast from Ridge Church, all about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the midst of the season that we're living in as a young adult. I'm Dan. I'm the pastor of youth and young adults here, and we want to welcome you to today's episode. On today's episode, we're talking to Melissa Cochran, who works at Miller College of the Bible in Salmon Arm, BC at Sunnybury Bible Camp. And she's a good friend of me and my wife, Jaleesa. We've known her for a long time and youth-led together. And today, we talked all about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of being in social isolation, in the midst of being stuck on your own, and what it looks like to stop lying to yourself when it comes to your emotional health and your spirituality. It was an amazing conversation, and we can't wait for you to listen in. So let's hop right to it. Well, hey, I'm here with Melissa Cochran, and I'm so excited to bring everyone this kind of conversation that we're going to have around what it looks like to follow Jesus in the midst of everything that's going on this year. And so, Melissa, you won't have heard this, but I give a little bit of an intro before people are hearing this part, just about who you are and how we're connected and how Jaleesa and I have gotten to know you over the last number of years and serve alongside you. But would you be willing to just, as we get going here, tell us just a little bit about who you are and what your story is and how you kind of came to be in the place you were in your like 2020?
Totally. I'm Melissa, just like Dan said, and I grew up in Whistler. And then when I was in high school, we moved to Vernon, which is up in the Okanagan by Kelowna. I'm from a non-Christian background, which kind of means that my parents actively tried to raise my sister and I in a way that we had no religion or no kind of like understanding of a God or who God is. And that's just kind of like their prerogative. And so as I was growing up, I thought church people were church people. You go to church because it makes you feel good. But my family doesn't go to church. And just like God does, he pursues us. And so when I was 15, I went to Bible camp. I'd heard nothing about God really before, but that was the time that God chose to reveal himself to me through counselors and through people that were, yeah, just so faithful to God and were just so patient with me to explain the good news of the gospel to me. And I was like, okay, all these people have heard this their entire lives, and I just feel like I'm getting a crash course in like who Jesus was, his life, what sin is, what I need to do, and yeah, what faith even looks like. And so at that point, I gave my life to Christ that week and basically showed up back at high school being like, okay, I'm a Christian now. What does this look like? And God was so faithful to put me in a church like right away with some girls that just were right there to disciple me, to share what it looks like to be a Christian in everyday life, to anything was, that they were so patient with me to teach me and God's pursuit of my life. He just wouldn't let go. So even though my parents, yeah, they split up while I was in high school and like lots of kind of messy stuff happened. But God's goodness and faithfulness just like went before me. And my youth pastor sat down with me and was like, you should go to Bible school. And I was like, I'm going to become an English teacher. So that's kind of a lame idea. But as God would have it, I ended up going to Bible school in Saskatchewan for 4 years. And then that same Bible school, they have a campus in the Okanagan kind of shoe swap of BC. And that's when they kind of offered me a job after my 4 years of Bible school to come out and work for them in BC. So that's where I've been ever since. So I've been here, this is my fifth year working for Miller, which is the Bible school I work for. And basically my life right now looks like discipling and walking alongside girls that are choosing to study God's word at Bible school, and also being involved in my local church and also recruiting students to come here. So that's kind of where I'm from and where I'm at. And so, yeah, my parents still don't this life, but I'm so thankful to God and for his faithfulness. And yeah, that's kind of my story.
I love that. Thanks so much. We've talked about this before, but it still kind of blows my mind that you would choose Saskatchewan as as the campus of a school that has a location in the Shuswap of BC and Saskatchewan. But it's probably an easier sell to get people to come to a Shuswap campus than in the middle of Saskatchewan.
It's so true. I like look outside my window right now and I'm in my office, but like outside there's just like a lake and a mountain and our students are like hiking. And I was like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So good. Because when you are in the middle of nowhere with nothing, you kind of have to like do some, like you and God time. So it was like good for me, like personally in my walk with the Lord, but I was very thankful that he called me back to BC.
Yes. Saskatchewan like is a great location if you want to go through like a dark night of the soul experience of God's grace. I feel like that is really fantastic. Yeah, I think we met actually when I came to Saskatchewan for the first time. So Melissa got to watch my first Dark Night of the Soul experience where I was like, am I even a Christian when I'm in Saskatchewan in October and I can't step outside because it's too cold? Man, it's a struggle in that season. Cool. Thanks so much for sharing a bit about your story, Melissa. But one of the things that I've loved getting to know and see in you as we serve together, you know, one of the major ways we've worked together is you get to serve in the youth ministry where myself and Jaleesa also served in Salmon Arm for a couple of years. And one of the things that I think you have brought in a really real way to that youth ministry, to your friendships, to the, our church as a whole when we were at the same church, was a level of joy and excitement that I think really just kind of bounces off people to the point that it's almost like overwhelmingly awesome. I think of people who would describe meeting you, and I'm trying to even just think of a story in my head right now, but one's not coming to me. But just the level of personality and joy that you bring to situations that you do. What has that been like for you in a year that, like, if I think we're honest, most of us do not feel an overwhelming sense of joy? How has that been for someone who I think exemplifies joy? Is that different for you this year at all?
I think that's a good question. Like, joy and like experiencing joy is just so much further than circumstances. But I think people like see joy and they're attached to it. So I think people would like see, my personality, and I'm just like naturally bent not only to like maybe be joyful, but also to like express that pretty loudly. Mm-hmm. And so people know and they can see. And so this year, as things like started to kind of come down the pipe of like, okay, like everyone kind of has the same story of like, okay, all of our plans are changed. All of our trips are canceled. Like I'm getting laid off for the summer or forever. I have no idea, but that's what it looked like in March, right? Is like, okay, we're quitting everything. Like, where is my joy found? And there were like, I seriously had to go back and just like be by myself and just ask the Lord, like, what is joy? Like, what is genuine joy? Because right now, like, I'm looking at my hands and they feel pretty empty. And I'm looking at like my bank account and it looks pretty empty. And I'm looking at my like WestJet ID where like all my flights, I was supposed to go to like this big concert in New York City this summer. Like, I think we all have those things where it's like, okay, that's just canceled. And like, what do I have right now? And just like recognizing that I'm like, man, my hands might be empty. And it just like feels like it felt empty. It did. And I was like, okay, it's okay. Valid to feel that, but my joy isn't shaken. And so maybe it's like, and joy just like, seriously, in my own life, like sometimes it's going to look loud and it's going to look like, yeah, I'm like the hypest person in the room. But like sometimes joy is that like simple knowing of like, hey, God's like with me and he's promised me that he's going to provide for me and go before me and be my, like my rock, my shield. And so like that maybe sounds kind of like corny, but it's what it is. It was just this like, okay, I, not only for myself, not only for other people, but I need to have this deep rooted joy because I serve a God that's like, his joy is going to give me strength. And so anyways, that's where like joy has looked like. And so even as those things like started to come back into play, so like I get called back in September and it's like, okay, even as things maybe start to like look better, my joy isn't actually found in those things. So it was a good time. Like honestly, March was a good time to take inventory of like, where is my joy found? And like, yeah, who is my joy in versus, kind of watching the world crumble, which we all have. And I know that it's still happening now. Like, anyways, for all of us.
Yeah. Can you walk us through a little bit of that process? Because I think like all of us have felt that probably at some point in the last year, particularly in March, in April. We're both in BC, but I'm in the Lower Mainland. So we're in the midst of kind of a re-shutdown, second wave, everything like that. And this sense as things change of that joy, that excitement, all those kind of things, they kind of wash away. But you spoke to this idea of like more deep-rooted joy than that.
I'd be interested, can you walk us through what the process was like for you? Because I think one of the things I've struggled with, and I wonder if a lot of us struggle with, is what's the walkthrough of that? It's okay to feel what I'm feeling. It's okay to say, this sucks, this hurts, this is a struggle right now, and I don't feel good, and I don't feel happy, or whatever it may be. What did that process look like for you in moving from the acceptance of the reality, but also moving towards still being, having a sense of joy that is deep rooted?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Oh my soul. And I like totally did not do this perfectly, but I think God taught me like so much through it, seriously. So like the beginning of it is kind of this like, almost pull up your bootstraps, like, oh, things are going to be okay. Like kind of reframing, like, and I'm the kind of person, like, I would almost rather, and this is like my like little secret or whatever, it's like, I would almost rather like hear a happy lie than like hear the hard truth, because the happy lie is just going to like make me feel better. So honestly, at the beginning, I was just like in this constant, like almost searching or like desperate, like reframing. So I'm like, okay, it's not good, but like, this is actually going to be fine. Like I'm laid off. That means like a whole summer vacation. Like I would just like turn whatever it was into this, like, it's actually better this way, which is like actually not like super good, because it's just this like pain avoidance. It's just running away from like maybe what actually is. And so I think even like that at stage three is way better than at stage one, because this reframing of like, I would just rather lie to myself than accept what's going on. Mm-hmm. So then after kind of realizing that the lying to myself like wasn't going to happen, I just had to like go to God. So literally what that looked like for me was like setting aside a day and being like, this is just a day that I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay it all out. And for me, I'm like so much better at journaling things out than I am at just like saying things on the fly. So I actually just sat down with my journal and with my Bible, and I was like, hey God, here's actually what I'm feeling right now. Here's what's going on. Would you take this and would you teach me through it? And would you reveal yourself to me through it? Because like I read in scripture that it's like, okay, like all things work out for the good of those who love him. I'm like, okay, a lot of these things do not look like they're working out for my good. But what does this look like to leave them in God's hands, trusting him, reminding myself of his goodness, and actually just like going back to passages that remind me of his goodness. And so that was kind of just this reset of right at the beginning. And I think I've had to do that a couple of times of like, I'm just going to pour this out. I'm going to be reminded of God's goodness. I'm going to sing praise to God. And then I'm going to kind of get back into it. So then as I like kind of went, that almost was me pushing it down and like kind of moving forward. So I'm like, okay, God's taken this. I'm okay. Let's just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. But then I almost felt guilty for like having sadness. And I was like, okay, I can't feel guilty for this. I need to recognize these feelings are going to be indicators. So like my sadness or like my disappointment is an indicator of a broken or like an unmet expectation. And I actually had to like just minute by minute give those like unmet expectations to God too. So like that's just kind of like my process. And so I had like 2 days where I had like a pity party, and I will say party because with me it's a party, but man, it was a party, but I for sure cried. But then I just was like, Lord, this is just revealing an out for my good and for your glory. And so it's really just been a summer into this season now of like, okay, God, when I feel that, when things are getting stripped away, when I hear Bonnie Henry telling us that you guys can't leave the Lower Mainland or that we're going to have to shut down things again, Lord, would you take my unmet expectation or my disappointment? And would you remind me that you are my ultimate joy? You're my ultimate satisfaction, despite my hands being empty, despite my wallet being empty, despite my gas tank being empty. So
I want to see a party that you host that Bonnie Henry's invited to, and just that dynamic would be a really exciting. I think post COVID, like when everything's okay, when we can go back to normal, I want to see like you throw the party for British Columbia with like Bonnie Henry and John Horgan and all those people. That would be a celebration for the ages.
There's going to be confetti and like Bonnie Henry's like calm voice that just like, she soothes us all. And then I'm going to strobe lights. It's all good.
Strobe lights. I love it. You talked a little bit about this idea of pain avoidance. And I think that hit a bit of a chord with me. of this season of trying to maybe like think positively or think through things or just kind of twist things so that it is better this way, or it must work out this way, or here's the positive. And not that that's wrong, but it's really interesting to me that you use the term pain avoidance. And I'm wondering if you can kind of hone in on that. Why do you think that is, that in a season where, you know, we're going through this thing, why do you think that pain avoidance is something that we kind of tend to when things don't feel good?
Oh yeah. Well, I feel like honestly on the surface, like pain avoidance is just like, I have decided it's better for me to be comfortable than to actually like wade through the thick water of what's going on. And like, it's such a lie, I think, to just like, yeah, instead of doing the hard thing, I would so much rather just do the easy thing and feel better about myself. And like, I hate that that's the way that, like, that's my natural tendency. And that's like, I think sin nature in me is going to always choose or naturally want to choose like, hey, how can I get away with doing the least amount of pain in like this situation? And like, I think there's so much of that, like, I think pain avoidance, we have to understand that like that motivation is just like maybe wrong. And that like, I think all of us would see like motivational posters where we're like, do the hard thing, or like, I don't know, just do it. And I'm like, oh, like just cry and like wait for somebody else to do it. It's like maybe what I would actually like, that's my real like self-motivation. But pain avoidance is like, I think deep down, it's just this like, if I ignore it, it will go away. And that's just not the way that this like this life works. It's also not the way that like God actually dealt with anything. So like when I think of Jesus, and this is like, it's kind of an elementary thought, but it's like literally Jesus, like 100% human, 100% man, chose to suffer the greatest amount of suffering on our behalf. But before he did, he asked God if the cup could be passed from him. So I'm like, okay, that's like Jesus' humanity, like on display of like, even Jesus was like, would you let this cup pass for me? Because he knew what he was about to do was going to be so painful. So I think like, as we like, I don't think this is Jesus' motivation, but like, for me, I would say there's security in comfort, or when I'm in control, like I'm creating my own security, which is just like kind of false. And it's going to become a false, like God, it's going to become an idol for me when I'm trying to like stack up my own house, like my own, house on the sand, honestly. So whatever, that's what that is. But I'm naturally motivated to avoid pain at all costs, basically, because there are other people that they're just like, I don't know. I think of like someone like Jaleesa, and I'm like, she is just naturally motivated to do the hard thing. And I'm like, so thankful for that. God's like made people like her. And I watch her and I'm like, wow, I just would rather sit back and watch versus getting my hands dirty. But this season has really taught me like, there's just no merit in like in pain avoidance, and that actually like it has brought me closer to God to accept like that pain is happening and to actually like sit in it versus trying to escape it. Because even like, I think all of us have our escape mechanisms, right? Like whether or not we're a natural pain avoider, but like some of us will escape like to, and it'll sound as simple as it is, like to scrolling on our phones. Like some of us escape to like playing video games for like endless hours, or like eating a third time when you shouldn't, like, or going back to Starbucks and whatever. It's just this like, we like naturally will find comfort in different things and whatever, but it's like, okay, that's maybe when I'm like stocking up comfort, I need to take stock of like, what's happening here that I'm actually not willing to sit through, like, or what is painful that I'm not actually willing to wade through right now, that I'm trying to fill myself up with something else. But anyways, that's that in my world.
No, that's good. That's I think pain avoidance is one of those things where like, it's a blurry line, or it's a fine line maybe, because there's this idea right now of self-care as a really valuable practice. And I'm not taking away from that at all, but like, at what point is self-care becoming just self-indulgence, where you're not actually moving forward? And I wonder for a lot of us, myself very much in this, is like, how many times have I maybe under the guise of like, well, I'm resting, or I'm taking care of myself, or those kind of things, put pain avoidance in and then called it care for myself or rest or relaxation or whatever it may be. And those things are valid. Like I've watched a lot of Netflix in the last 6 months. I don't think my TV is not getting its money's worth of use longer. But it's interesting to me how like quick I am to maybe justify some of those things in my own life. And I think you spoke to that really well. When you identify that something is being avoided, what does it look like to press into it? Because it's one thing to be like, yeah, that's maybe an issue in my life, or that maybe is something I'm trying to avoid right now. But how do you maybe move from like acceptance of the reality? I don't know if this is 12 steps or like where it's from, but like the stages of grief or whatever, from acceptance to like starting to process through, you know, not just, oh, I'm avoiding the pain of losing a job, or I'm avoiding the pain of losing this thing. What do you think it looks like? And maybe you could share like some practices that have been helpful for you, or just in general, like what maybe your processes look like to press into those things in a way that's actually healthy and not just like sitting in it. Cause I don't think it's healthy either to just sit and be like, everything sucks, I'm not okay. what does that look like for you? Or what do you think it could look like for someone to press into those things that maybe we have been avoiding in a way that helps us move beyond them?
That's such a good question. I think as like a certified pain avoider, like I think we are really good at feeling like tuckered out after just like hearing about our own sin or about something that I'm doing. You know what I mean? Just like recognizing it, we're just like doubled over and we're just like heaving. We're like, oh my goodness, like that was so painful to even just call it out. And then we're like, but I'm done and I feel fine and like whatever. Cause now that I've called it out, I'm kind of like done. And it has been, it's taken me a long time, honestly, to instead of just calling things out and being like, well, I guess I'm just this way, or, well, I don't really like that about me and I'm just going to like move on, to actually like, yeah, I think pressing into it is kind of like, it's the best visual that we have to just be like, yep, this is painful. And instead of just like slapping a Band-Aid on it, we're going to put some rubbing alcohol on it and actually deal with what's going on, which is like soup's painful, but way better than just like covering it up. So huge, huge, huge things for me. And yeah, maybe they're going to be old hat, but they have been unbelievably helpful for me is community. I need people in my life that when I have to actively tell them, hey, this is an area that I'm trying to avoid, whether that right now I like meet with one of the ladies that mentors me. So she's like my discipler. Like I meet with her on Zoom because we just can't get together in this season. Wow. So I need to like actively be like, hey, this is what's happening. And even just this last week, I'm like, oh man, I don't appreciate how selfish I'm being. I'm going to call it out and I'm going to reach out to my mentor and ask her to walk with me in this, because I'm going to ask her to press in and to ask good questions and to pray for me and to walk with me in this so that we can see steps towards freedom versus just like calling it out and being like, I guess Melissa's just selfish. So that's like been a huge one for me, is just like, I'm going to integrate Christian mentors, disciplers, community in my life. And whether that's like a friend that you like text up, or like someone that you're Zooming with, I know this season is crazy, or just like someone that you meet up with, but to just actually walk with you and invite them to walk with you in it. And then another huge thing, and like, is actually just going to the Lord with it, repenting and actually just being like, Lord, this is something that like is not like, you don't own selfishness, like kind of being brought to the surface. Would you help me? And so for me, and I said this before, journaling is kind of like my biggest way personally. So I'm going to journal down questions to kind of get to the root of this. So, hey, like I'm going to talk about pain avoidance. Like what pain, like honestly, just the simple question of like, what am I trying to avoid? What is the pain I'm trying to avoid? Why is that painful? Like what is, what's getting in the way of me seeing God's goodness in this? And why am I feeling motivated to lie to myself or to reframe the truth to get out of feeling this? So for me, either a mentor or like a friend is going to ask those questions, or I'm going to start asking those questions and then just start bringing those things to God. Cause like, it's not like it's outside of his understanding what we're doing, but somehow I'm trying to find joy in something that's not him, or I'm trying to find security in something that's not him, or comfort in something that's not him. So Lord, would you just help me root that out? So that's a little bit practically about what I do.
Cool. How do you do community in a season where you can't like go out for a coffee maybe, or you can't hang out with your small group, or you can't go to an event, or like all these kind of things make it really hard to like, it's so like Christianese, but to like do community or whatever it may be, like all those things that we would do as practices of community seem so far gone? Like you talked about, like you're meeting with your mentor on Zoom.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I won't speak for you, but I feel like personality wise, you probably don't prefer Zoom over to real life human interaction.
You are right. You're very right. And this is another, like another season that we're all feeling the same thing where I'm like, oh, I'm part of a small group. Like literally if you would have talked to me, like, I don't know, like March 10th, like before this whole thing blew up, I'm like the queen of community. I'm like, I've got a small group. I've got like, I'm helping out at youth. I'm like discipling these girls in the group and we're meeting at my house and I'm having a party and whatever. Right. And I'm just the kind of person that I'm like, if you can be in my house, get in my house. Like that sounds like horrible. And even now where I'm like, okay, that just sounds ludicrous now because it's like for us up here in like the shoe shop, it's six people max in a house. Yeah. Like, and I'm sure it's the same down there. So it's like, that doesn't sound like a party to me or even like a hangout or my small group can't meet. So all these things in my world have been canceled, which I'm sure we're doing this on Zoom, which means that also all the things down there have been canceled. So community for me right now looks so different. And I am also like not a natural one-on-one hangout person. I would so much rather hang out in a group. Right. And so this has been a season of like really accepting it and just praying that God would show me like a flourishing community through it. And he's been so faithful and it is not perfect. And I would not even say that this is ideal, but really God has just like, okay, who is around me? Who's in front of me? And how can I like, how can I be community for them? How can they be community for me? Right. And so it's like, there's just something that happens when we actually look outside of ourselves too, versus looking at the people around us or, and almost being like, oh God, why did you give us these people? If I could choose, it wouldn't be them, you know? But would you show me like how I can bless them and where you show them how they can bless me? And it's just been so, so, so rich. So even in this, like, I'm mentoring on Zoom, which means I need to be so much more intentional about being real because it is so much easier to be real when someone's like, you're crying and someone can hug you. And so, okay, I have to be okay with being real, with being vulnerable in a place where it literally is, it's cold. I'm talking to you on a screen. Like, I can't see what your body's doing. You know what I mean? It's just this like, I'm going to choose vulnerability over keeping things back. And I'm going to choose to pour out. And you know what? It's actually been, this is like going to sound so corny. Everything I say sounds so corny sometimes, but like, Lord, as I'm like logging onto Instagram, like who can I just shoot a message to? Because I'm so far away from them, but like I can actually just like reach out and we're all in that weird season where no one's around us. So who can I be community for just in this like weird space and just text them or message them and say, hey. So that's what community looks like for me right now. It has taken a lot more of my own like intentionality, which I think we're just naturally not bent towards is taking the first step, but it's so good.
I can attest that you do this really well. This is pre-COVID. like back in that age where we could like, where you were like, yeah, let's throw a party and have more than six people in the house. And now that just like, there's like a, like my body tenses up to think of more, or you watching movies, you like see a situation in a movie and you're like, that's not right. They can't be that close or they can't be in that setting. But you do this really well, even outside of COVID. We have a postcard on our fridge right now that you sent us a couple months after we moved down here, just to encourage Jaleesa and I, as someone from our community in Seminar, as we went to a new place. And so I think that's just like those little things end up meaning the most. I know there's been a couple examples of that, that we can think of over the last few months where it's really little things. Like it's, you know, someone dropped flowers off at our house when it was our anniversary and we couldn't do anything special for our anniversary because it was, we were in lockdown and like all those kind of things, like they feel so insignificant. But at the same time, they make such a big impact. So it's those kind of little things are huge for sure. And you, you bring a party even on a postcard. So that's, that's valuable. And huge. Cool. As you've navigated lockdown, what would you, lockdown, COVID, this year, everything, what would you say in the midst of, you know, you've kind of talked about practices and what it's looked like and pain avoidance. What do you think is the one or two, what's the one major thing you think God's maybe been trying to teach or form in you over the course of this year?
That is such a good question.
You're complimenting all my questions. It makes me feel really good. It's very encouraging. You're a natural encourager because you're encouraging my question asking.
Yes.
So it's very kind of you. Thank you for the kindness about questions.
They're so good because it just actually makes me think versus like, what is your favorite color? And I'm like, emerald green, of course, because it's right there on the tip of my tongue always. I think the biggest thing that God's been really just reminding me is that my quest for freedom is satisfied in Jesus. And I'm the kind of person that I just want freedom. I want my own way. I want control. I think that's a human struggle. And like, even if like someone is like joyful, like deep down, we all just want control, honestly. And that as I'm fighting for my own control, like, oh, I actually have freedom in the gospel that frees me from like myself. And it frees me from my sin. It frees me from, it frees me from having hope that is misplaced. And so I'm like, I can rest in Jesus. And so that is like, it's the sweetest freedom. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. So that's like, I needed a season where things got stripped away. And like, I by no means want to say like, oh, I'm so like COVID was the best thing that happened to me. But like in it, I can see God stripping away my own desire for control and that he's replaced it with like a fuller confidence in him and a fuller trust in his freedom being so good versus like his freedom being chains for me, which it's not. So
yeah. That's really good. Cool. Hey, what kind of resources, what's been an encouraging practical thing or research, maybe a book you've read or a podcast you've listened to, like what's been something that's helped you in the midst of this season to navigate following Jesus, to navigate what it looks like to experience in freedom in Christ? You mentioned community, you mentioned time in the word and in prayer, which are like really grounding practices for any kind of disciple of Jesus. But is there anything kind of outside of the typical that you've been like, this has been a really helpful thing, like your pro tip, your life hack,
for
COVID survival? Tell me.
This is okay. I don't know how this is going to sound, but it was instrumental to me because I'm realizing I'm like, I'm just spending so much time on my phone. Yep. And so like, of course I'm going to be the person that's like, take a day off your phone. But I actually have one step further. So I actually did like a full social media inventory. And so what that was is I just went through like every single account that I'm following. And I was like, if this is not encouraging me, I'm going to get it out of here basically. And so that to me, it sounds so like, maybe it just sounds too simple, but for me to like fill my social media, knowing that I'm going to be on it more often, I need to be on my computer more often. Mm. My whole job that was like with people is now completely almost online. So I need to fill what I'm seeing online with things that are going to encourage me and push me towards Jesus. And so at this Instagram stories, and I do not need to do that like flick, 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 flick thing where I'm like, enough, like you guys are so annoying. It's like, it's actually filled with people I know are going to be speaking truth and that are going to be like actually filling this. So right now I'm doing like Annie F. Downs. I feel like we've talked about her, you and I, Dan, like I just love her stuff. And so right now she's like, okay, we're just going to read through all four gospels. And I'm like, okay, I'm just like encouraged by her reading of the word. And I'm going to do that with people. So like actually just engaging with encouraging like social media. So that's been like, that's my COVID pro tip because it's just been so, so, so beneficial. And then I think that's, and then clean your house. Like that sounds so lame. So that's just practical. Like, your brain is just going to be messed up if you're in a messy house. So clean your house, clean up your social media, and fill your mind. Just like I said earlier, like praying, reading scripture, worshiping the Lord, even if you're like a horrible singer, like, sing the one line of the song you remember from church. Like, it's just so good. And it's got truth for you. I know you guys, like Seth is your guys' worship guy down there at Ridge. Like, he's going to be leading songs that are worth listening to, worth singing, worth repeating in your mind. And like, I want my mind to be filled with those things. So anyways, that's COVID pro tips.
Cool. Redeeming social media. What's what you mentioned? What's the top one or two accounts that you're like, hey, you might not know that this person is super encouraging to follow, but go shoot them a follow.
Okay. So I would say like, she's maybe more like for girls, but her name is Lori Wilbert, L-O-R-E Wilbert. She is like such a deep, like rich, like she just writes things, like, she's a writer by nature. She has a podcast that's so good. And like, she's just one that makes me think and remind me, like, reminds me of God and how good he is. And then my other one is Annie F. Downs, because she is like, ultimately, she does a book club for kids. Like, that's love the that. Kind of girl she is. She does mini BFF book club. And she just like has this love for Jesus that is like radiant. And so when I see her stuff, I'm like, this girl like loves Christ and she's going to share it. So anyways, so I'm kind of a sucker for that. So I'm a thoughtful girl. So my girl, Lori, is my thoughtful girl. And then nice. Annie brings the party. So
yeah. I love that. That is fantastic. Cool. That is so, so helpful. Well, yes. As we kind of close out here, any kind of final thoughts or encouragements or what you'd say to a person in the midst of a second wave and still like there might be a vaccine coming, but it's still kind of like this weird, vague, who knows when and who knows what and who knows how long and all these things. There's so much confusion. What would kind of be your encouragement to people as they go in a journey of discipleship to Jesus, even in this next few months? What would be your encouragement to us as we kind of close out here?
Yeah. Another great question, Dan. My encouragement is straight up, do not wait until COVID is over to follow Jesus with your whole heart. Wow. It's just not worth it. It's not worth waiting around for your circumstances to change, to dive in to a literal like life-changing relationship of depth and commitment to Jesus. So that's my encouragement is don't wait around. Don't wait for COVID, because when COVID's over, there's going to be something else that's holding you back. So yeah, dive in with your whole heart, 2 feet, do it.
Dive in, whole heart, 2 feet. I love it. So good. I'm so excited. Down the road, we're going to have you out to come speak at one of our young adult services or come visit youth or just come visit Ridge Church or just come hang out for a week because we'd love to have you just come host. Like when COVID's over, you can just come host a party every night for a week.
Awesome.
We'll call it like, yes, that is the ministry of partying with friends. No, Melissa, we are so thankful for you. Jaleesa and I have been so grateful for your friendship in our life and your encouragement in our life and the joy you bring to our lives. So thank you for taking the time with us today.
Thanks so much, Dan. Seriously.
Absolutely. All right, Melissa, it's been so good. We love you. We appreciate you. And we hope you have a great day.
Thank you. Bye, guys.